Well, good morning and greetings. Greet you all in the precious name of Jesus. And I bring greetings as well from East District, like Matt mentioned. It's good to be here among you again. We spent a month here back in 2016. It's hard to believe that's, what is that? It's going to be 7 years. That 7 years this summer, if I can do my math right anyway. So it's hard to believe. Is it that long ago already? But yeah, we've been back here and there, but it's been a while now since we've been here. So yeah, it's good to see familiar faces, and it's good to see some new faces too that we haven't seen here before. So yeah. Yeah, it was a blessing to be here back then. So a cast project that we were working on. We stayed over here above the school in the apartment. And yeah, it's good to live across the street from Dale and Connie and their children. One of the things that I notice, that we often notice in other families maybe that we didn't see for a couple years, is how much the children grow. And wow, it's amazing how, yeah, You don't see it when you're not with people all the time. You don't notice those changes, but give it a couple years and right away the children, it's amazing how much they grow. But yeah, Dale invited me to come share here this morning, and I was glad to for the invitation. It's good to be here and spend the day with you all. I trust that you will be blessed and encouraged by what I have to share. What I'm planning to share, Lord willing, is on the Christian's hope, the hope that we have as Christians. You know, what does it mean when you talk about hope? You know, we use the word hope maybe in a way that isn't quite the way Scripture uses it. And the definition the dictionary would give is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. So we can hope for a lot of different things. But I'd like for us to think about what the Bible has to say about hope. I did a word search on the word hope. And I forget the number of times that it comes up throughout Scripture, but it's 140 maybe. A lot of those are in the Psalms. The writers in the Psalms speak a lot about hope. And again, in the New Testament has a lot to say about hope. So I printed off a list of verses, and I'm not going to read them all, but I had three or four pages full of verses that came up, but maybe I'll just read a couple here just to kind of get a feel for what the Bible says about hope. I'm just going to read the verses without giving the reference. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. That phrase seems to come up here and there throughout the Psalms. Why art thou cast down? And just questioning, why am I discouraged? What's wrong that I'm not? Why is this discouragement and downcast feeling? Why is that? So I have a couple more here with that. It says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And Yeah, that phrase gets repeated several times in the Psalms about, you know, why art thou cast down? You know, when we consider who God is and what he has done for us and what our true hope is, we shouldn't be cast down. We shouldn't be discouraged. That should be a source of encouragement for us. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith and into his grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It talks about rejoicing in hope. And that is, I trust that we can do that this morning. Rejoice in hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about charity, bearing all things. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. But hope comes up, and it's mentioned a lot with faith and love. And, yeah, what is our hope? What do we hope in? And Brother Matt talked a little bit about trusting our possessions, our things, and whatever it might be. And that kind of comes along the same lines. But what do we hope for? What is our hope? And I'm going to look at a verse in Hebrews chapter 1, very familiar verse, Hebrews chapter 11, rather, verse 1. And I'm going to read it, I'll read it in the King James, and then I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the Amplified says that now faith is the assurance, and then it expands on that word assurance, as title deed or confirmation of things hoped for. And again it adds, divinely guaranteed. The things that we hope for are divinely guaranteed. And the evidence of things not seen, or the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. So our faith comprehends as fact the things that we cannot experience with our physical senses. You know, it's not our hope, the thing that we hope for, is not something that we can experience physically. Has to be received by faith. It's by faith that we hope. So we hope for something that we have not seen yet. You know, that's why it's hope. Hope is always looking forward. Hope doesn't look back. It looks forward. It looks for something that we have not yet seen. And we believe that through faith. And it is by our faith in God and our conviction that God is telling us the truth. You know, the Bible tells us that God, he cannot lie. And we believe that this book is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it is God's word to us. It is not just a book that a bunch of men got together to write, but it is God's words to us, God's message to us. And we, by faith, we believe that, and we're fully convinced that what God said is going to happen. That's hope. We're convinced. We have this conviction that that God is true, and what he said is going to come to pass. So we are looking forward for something that is coming, right? We're not looking back. We're looking forward. So what do we hope for? There's so many things that we can hope for, and not that it's wrong to hope for things or things in this life, But what do you hope for? Do you hope for good health? Do you hope for wealth or prosperity? Do you hope for things to go well? Maybe in your business or whatever you're doing. Do you hope for fame? Do you hope for popularity? Do you hope for a good reputation? Do you hope a certain team wins a championship? Do you hope for a good Sunday lunch? I do. I expect that to happen too. I've been told it will, and I believe that, right? But I haven't experienced it yet. I'm looking forward. And you know, there's so many things that we can look forward to, and but a lot of those things are earthly things, and it's not wrong to look forward to earthly things. But let's the Bible talks about the hope that is to come, that isn't talking about anything earthly. In Psalm 16:11. See, where do I have that? The verse that I was going to read. 16:11, it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." And it's looking forward. It's looking forward to something that we don't have yet. In thy presence, fullness of joy, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's something that we more than likely are not experiencing, at least not in its fullness, in this life. Pleasures forevermore. You know, we have hard things that we face. It's not all pleasure in our life. It's not all ease and good things. We have hard things to go through. But we're looking forward to a time when that will be true and that will be in its fullness. Pleasures forevermore when we're in His presence. So what do we look forward to? You know, many people talk about looking forward, and often people say about somebody that's passed on, he's in a better place, right? But really, is that true? Why do we say that? Why are we looking forward to a better place? Often people, when you talk to them, and you talk to them about death and what comes after death and things like that, and what do you think is going to happen, and they often have this hope that God is going to be merciful when they don't know what's going to happen and they're unsure, but in their minds, things are going to turn out well for them. And they have this hope that God is going to be merciful and He's going to overlook their sinful deeds, and He's going to allow them entrance into heaven. But many times that hope is not grounded in truth. It's a false hope. But yeah, going back to why do we look forward to going to heaven? What is the reason for that hope? And a lot of people would say they want to be reunited with loved ones that might have passed on before them. And certainly that's a good thing. It's natural for us to want to be reunited with our loved ones. But I believe that's stopping short of what truly God is, the hope that we really should be living for, should go beyond that. Are we looking to go to heaven because we don't want to go to hell? Is that the motivation for us to look forward to heaven? And again, that is, I believe, the wrong focus. If we're only trying to avoid hell, then our motive to look forward to heaven is kind of, I just don't want to go to hell, so I'll just go to the alternative. And it's not really a looking forward to what we experience there. It's just an escape. What did Jesus say when there in John 14, he was talking to his disciples, and he said, "I'm going to leave, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come back and take you with me so that you can be where I am," right? So the hope that we should be living for and expecting is to be with Jesus, right? To be in His presence. To experience that fullness of joy and those pleasures forevermore. That should be the ultimate hope that we have. And we may experience all those other things with that, but that's not the main reason that we hope to go to heaven, right? The main reason should be that I get to spend eternity with Jesus and to be with him, to experience him as he is, face to face. You know, we sing songs about that. We sing songs about, you know, what a day that will be. And it's looking forward to the day that we will experience Jesus face to face. And I trust that that is what your hope is, that you're looking forward to that day. You know, too often we kind of get too comfortable here, right? It's easy to get comfortable here. It's a beautiful place. And I guess I'll get into that in my next point here. You can turn to Romans chapter 8 for some verses there. Romans 8 talks about how the creation is waiting expectantly for something to happen. So I'm just going to read through those verses, starting in verse 18. It's, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." So he's making a comparison to this present, to the sufferings of this present time shouldn't be compared to what we experience in the future, that what we're looking forward to, that hope that we have. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature is made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." So the whole creation, it says it's groaning and travailing, and it's waiting to be delivered from the bondage of corruption. So there's a time coming when creation itself will be released from the curse of sin. And it's an interesting to think about it, that the creature and the creation itself is groaning and travailing in pain together. Even creation itself is waiting for that time when it will be released from the curse of sin. And again, it's a looking forward. It's looking forward to something that hasn't happened yet, but we're waiting for it. We're waiting expectantly for it. And verse 23 says, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body, of our body." So we still live in this earth that is under the curse. Our bodies are still under the curse. We have not experienced the final salvation that is to come when Jesus comes back. So we're still looking forward to that. You know, there's kind of three phases of salvation. There's the day that we commit ourselves to Christ, the day of salvation, when we get saved, so to speak. But then there's the life that follows, is a life of living out the faith. That's the present. It's what we do today. But there's a looking forward to the final stage of salvation, when everything is completely renewed. We're told that we're going to get new bodies, glorified bodies. And we wait for that. And if we read on here in verse 24, it says, "We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it." So we're patiently waiting for this to take place. Hope is something that we have not yet seen or experienced. And just thinking about the creation and the things that we can experience here in this life, you know, we enjoy life. We enjoy good things in life. We enjoy beauty, nature. I'm looking forward to spring when everything's turning green and it's just so beautiful, and I just appreciate it. Even though I'm kind of colorblind, I still appreciate the bright green colors of spring and everything's coming to life. And you know, I'm looking forward to the day when I won't have that curse of colorblindness that restricts me from seeing all the color that many of you probably see. And my boys have the same thing. All the males in our family are colorblind. So it's a bit of a disadvantage for me, especially as a builder, when you have to work with colors and try to match things up. That can be very frustrating. But I'm looking forward to the day when that will be taken away. And, you know, so many other things. But we can get stuck in, you know, enjoying it too much here, maybe. I was at the Conscientious Objectors meeting yesterday over at Ephrata, and Frank Reed was giving a topic on the history of non-resistance throughout the church age, the history of the church. And he talked about how the first 300 years of the church, there was it was persecution. The church was not at home here in this world. But then Constantine comes along, and he stops the persecution, and the government actually endorsed the church, and they brought the church and the state together, and from then on, the church was welcomed into the culture, into the government, into the society in general. It was the popular thing to do was to become a Christian. And the church was no longer a foreigner or an alien in this world. This was their home. And a lot of those things, we can identify with a lot of those things today in our country, I believe. And I believe we can get stuck there. And I see it happening. So many people are so involved in politics and just trying to make things happen that makes it better for us here. And we're no longer an alien here like the Bible calls us to be. A stranger and a foreigner, you know, traveling through a foreign land. But we have become comfortable here and we like it here. So that looking forward is no longer really something that is always in front of us. Because we have too much here. We're too comfortable here. And, yeah, what do you do about all that? I'm not sure. We talk about the blessings that we have, the freedom we have, and we appreciate it. And we do. We can be here this morning and nobody is bothering us. That's a blessing. But I believe it's also a way for the enemy to put us to sleep. And we forget that we're really in a battle for the very souls, our eternal souls. And just a couple verses in Romans 13, verses 12 to 14. It says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, and in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." So it talks about the night being far spent. It's time to be awake and to be busy about the kingdom. And I should have just read verse 11 there too. It says, "Knowing the time that it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe." Our salvation is nearer now than when we believe. That final stage of our salvation is closer now than it was when we first believed. So we're getting closer. And this was what, 2,000 years ago that this was written. So we're so much closer to that consummation, to that final stage of our salvation. So going back to talking about hope, you know, the way we use it in our modern language is often not the way it's used in Scripture. You know, it's something we want to happen or expect to happen, maybe. I looked up some synonyms, and some of the things that come up are daydreaming. You know, what are you doing when you're daydreaming? It's often thinking about, well, I wonder, you know, I wish it was like this, or what if it was like this? And thinking about what your life would be like if it was something different. Or pipe dream. A pipe dream is something that you wish would happen in your life, but you have no grounds to actually believe it. It's not something that is going to happen. I mean, it could happen, but most likely won't, and you really don't have any reason to believe that it will. That's a pipe dream. And that is often, we can think about and hope for and wish for certain things to happen in our life. Prosperity, fame, whatever it might be. I could wish and hope for to be a famous professional athlete. But I really don't have any grounds to expect that to happen, right? First of all, I'm almost 50 years old. It's kind of late for that, right? But it's not grounded in reality. I have no reason to believe that's going to happen. Another phrase that came up is a fool's paradise. A fool's paradise. Expecting something to happen without it being grounded in reality. There's no reason or proof that that it's going to happen. And that's not the hope that we're talking about in Scripture. We believe with conviction that it is something that is coming. And we have every reason to believe it. The song that says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." My hope is built on nothing less. My hope is built on the blood of Jesus and his righteousness. That is the foundation for my hope. It's not some wishful thinking. It's not just hoping that it will come true. I hope this is how it's going to work out. I don't really know, but I just hope. That's not what it is. This is reality. It's not something I've experienced yet, but I have reasons to believe it because God won't lie. He is telling me the truth, and I'm convinced that it is the truth. Some wishful thinking that people may have is that, again, I mentioned it before, but hoping that everything will turn out all right. I don't really follow Christ. I'm not going to receive him. I'm not going to live for him. But I hope that everything will be all right when I stand before him. That's wishful thinking. It's not grounded in truth. It's a delusion. It's a fool's paradise. But so many people are there. There's so many people that have this fool's paradise, is this foolish hope or wish that it's just going to turn out all right. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Have you ever heard somebody say that? I'm sorry. When you get there, there's nothing more to do. Today is the day that we need to put our faith in Christ and trust him with our salvation. Hebrews talks about hope being an anchor for the soul in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. It says, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil." Our hope is, it's an anchor for us. It keeps us on course. It helps us not to drift and to lose our way. 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So it talks about a lively hope or a living hope. And what's the opposite of something that's not living? It's dead. And we don't have a dead hope. We have a living hope. We have been begotten again, born again into this living hope. And it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us confidence that what we hope for is going to happen. You know, the resurrection of Christ that we will be celebrating next Sunday is the, I don't know, is that the anchor maybe that we have in our faith? You know, what is more important than the resurrection of Christ in giving us confidence that what he said is going to come to pass? Hope keeps us going. Hope keeps us motivated. I have a quote here that says that the human body can live 40 days without food, 4 days without water, 4 minutes without air, and 4 seconds without hope. And what happens to people that have no hope? They're hopeless. Their life is hopeless. What happens to them? They just give up, right? There's nothing to live for. And Proverbs 13, in verse 13, verse 12, says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope taken away, if our hope is stripped away, it makes the heart sick. It helps us, or it makes us to kind of, it makes us very discouraged, and we tend to give up because there's no hope. There's no purpose in life. And that's just talking about this life. I'm not talking about eternity. I'm talking about this life. You know, there's something about looking forward to something that motivates us. If we have something planned in the future, some for trip or vacation or something, it kind of energizes us and it's something for us to look forward to, and it helps us, it keeps us going. There's something about anticipating some future event that gives us energy, and it gives us something to look forward to, whether it's a vacation or a trip or hunting season, fishing season, baseball, football. There's so many things that we can look forward to. I'm looking forward to spring. I love spring, and I can't wait for it. I'm ready for it. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, let's see, 5, verse 8, says, "For let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." In Ephesians 6, it talks about the armor, and it just says the helmet of salvation. Here it says, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And I believe, in a spiritual sense, that hope, that looking forward, is something that keeps us motivated in a spiritual sense. Just the way things keep us motivated in this life. So let's keep that focus, and to be motivated, to be looking forward to that day, and remembering that this isn't our home. Let's keep reminding ourselves of that, because it's easy to get caught up in the things of life and getting busy and all that, all our responsibilities that we might have, and we get so busy that we forget to to look forward to that day when we're going to be released from this. This isn't our home. This isn't where we're meant to be for eternity. This is just a time that we are spending here as aliens and foreigners passing through. So my last point is, in 1 John, it talks about seeing him as he is. So I'll just read a couple verses there. 1 John chapter 3 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. For we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure." So this date in the future, then, when Jesus comes back, it says that when we see him as he is, then we shall be like him. That transformation that is going to come when Jesus comes back. And that is a day that we should be looking forward to. And it says that if we have that hope in us, every man that hath that hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So if we're really looking forward to that day and we're waiting for that to happen, it should do something in the way we live today in this life. It says, every man that hath his hope purifieth himself as he is pure. So our goal is to be like Christ, right? And as we wait expectantly for him to come back, we should be patterning our lives in his image as we wait for that day, as we wait for him to show up and to bring that release from the curse of sin. I had one other point that I had included in this message. I shared this before, but that was on hopelessness. Ephesians 2 talks about being without hope, being without Christ, and aliens of the Commonwealth of Israel. But, you know, we can, there's a lot of people that are without this hope, and we can be those that share this hope with the world around us. But let's be a people that are looking forward and waiting expectantly for the Master to come back. And I trust that will motivate us to be active about his business and about his work and to bring people into his kingdom. And again, to remember that this isn't our home. We're just passing through. So I ask you to bow your heads for a word of prayer. Father, we just pause here. We thank you for your love. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for the beauty of your creation, and we appreciate it. But at the same time, we realize that it is affected by the curse of sin. And as your sons and daughters, we wait for that day when we will be released from that curse and everything will be made new, including our own bodies. So, Lord, I pray that as we wait for your return, that we would be motivated to live a life that you have patterned for us. God, I just pray your blessing on this church. Bless the rest of our service. And as we go into the days to come, may your name be written in our foreheads. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.